The time is 6 o'clock. Good morning. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio on this Wednesday. I'm Cheryl Gasser. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Ray Cardine in with you until 9 this morning. And after the news from NPR and State of Wisconsin, Joy's first guest discusses why what kids eat at school can send the wrong message about health and nutrition and what we can do to improve school lunches. And according to Joy's guest, after 7, suburban sprawl isn't new and isn't bad. And in what's being billed a major speech on Iraq, President Bush will speak at the U.S. Naval Academy shortly before 9 this morning. After 8, Joy and her guest political scientist preview the address, and NPR will provide special coverage of the address beginning at 8:30 this morning. In our weather forecast, going to be cloudy today with scattered morning flurries, highs in the 30s. Light snow likely this evening with light snow after midnight, accumulation of around 2 inches, lows in the low 20s. Currently light snow in Madison and 22, light snow in Milwaukee and 26, and La Crosse 19.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. President Bush is scheduled to make what is being called a major speech on Iraq this morning at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. He is expected to cite major strides in training Iraqi security forces. The president is also expected to caution that those forces are not yet able to fight without U.S. backing, so he cannot set a timetable for withdrawing U.S. troops. Today's speech will be the first of several looking ahead to the December 15th Iraqi elections. In Iraq, 9 laborers were shot and killed this morning north of Baghdad, and 4 Iranian Shiite pilgrims were reported missing. Meanwhile, an aid group identified all 4 Westerners kidnapped over the weekend. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
Iraqi officials said masked gunmen attacked a minivan north of the capital, killing Iraqi civilian workers on their way to Bakuba and wounding their driver. Separately, officials learned that on Monday night, 6 Iranian pilgrims were seized by insurgents at a gas station while traveling from Najaf to Samarra during a tour of Shiite shrines. 2 women were released, but the 4 men have not been heard from since. The aid group Christian Peacemaker Teams released the names of all 4 of its members kidnapped on Saturday. American Tom Fox of Virginia, Canadians Harmeet Sutton and James Loney, and Briton Norman Kember were shown in a videotape broadcast by the Al Jazeera channel. Another group released video showing a German captive, Suzanne Osthoff, who was reported missing last Friday. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Baghdad.
The Supreme Court re-enters the abortion debate today with a case that tests the constitutionality of a law requiring that the parents of a minor be notified in person 48 hours before an abortion. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
The first question in today's case has implications for women of all ages. At issue is whether those seeking or providing abortions can challenge a restriction before it goes into effect because of the small time window for abortions. The second question is whether a parental notification law must have a health exception. New Hampshire's law has only one exception, allowing abortions for minors without parental notification only to prevent imminent death. But there is no similar exception to preserve the health of the minor, and the American Medical Association has filed a brief saying that there are a number of conditions in which an immediate abortion is needed to prevent strokes, organ damage, vision loss, and infertility. A lower court invalidated the New Hampshire law because it did not provide an exception for such circumstances. Now the Supreme Court will decide. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Crews have been slowly restoring electricity to thousands of people left in the dark by the first blizzard of the season in the Plains States. Major roads and interstates were reopened a day after the storm struck the region on Monday. The storm dumped snow as far south as the Texas Panhandle. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:04 on this Wednesday, November the 30th. And we'll talk this hour about what Wisconsin school children are having for lunch today and how much time they'll have to eat it and wonder if there isn't a healthier way. After State News with Cheryl Gasser. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Joy. Republican sponsors of a bill that would let people carry concealed weapons say they've overcome objections to some law enforcement groups. They say an amendment would allow officers on the road to run checks on cars they stop to see if the owner has a permit to carry a weapon. They'd be able to do that before approaching the driver. Details of the amendment are to be announced today at a Madison News conference.
A former state senator charged as the result of an investigation into corruption at the state capitol is due for sentencing today in Madison. Former Senator Brian Burke dropped his three-year fight against the charges last month. He agreed to plead guilty to felony misconduct in office and a misdemeanor charge of obstruction. The Milwaukee Democrat was accused of using his Senate office to run a failed bid for attorney general and refusing to turn over a subpoenaed document. Western Wisconsin's congressmember is unhappy with the Federal Emergency Management Agency's treatment of the state, and Democrat Ron Kind says he's also not happy FEMA won't meet with him. He says the state was unfairly treated when FEMA denied disaster assistance to Wisconsin communities following 28 tornadoes this summer. Kind has been trying to get a review of the decision.
I've been for the last couple of months trying to establish a high-level meeting with FEMA officials in Washington, and I can't get through their door. And I'm a sitting member of Congress, and it's mind-boggling, but it's also inexcusable because they have to answer to us as well. And I understand they've got a lot on their plate right now, but I'm not satisfied with the decision they made with Wisconsin help, and we're hoping to get that resolved.
Kind is also critical of FEMA operations after a delayed response to Hurricane Katrina in the south. He says he hopes new management at the top will help the agency respond proactively in the future. Think your electrical bill is high? Madison pays $4.5 million every year for streetlights and 200 city facilities. But now a private utility is helping the capital city pay for energy-saving projects that could also reduce air pollution. Shemaine Mills reports.
Madison Gas and Electric is going to invest $1.8 million to help Madison come up with green energy projects over the next 8 years. One of the ideas is a so-called solar mile. Developers of new buildings would be encouraged to use solar panels along a frequently traveled corridor leading from the airport to the state capitol. Architect Lou Host-Jablonski says the investment in renewable energy will eventually save money and could reduce pollution.
This is a special thing. You have to know this is not normal. There's tens of thousands of cities across the country who are not doing this, what this mayor is doing, what this city is doing. So for us, this is very exciting.
Michael Vickerman is the director of Renew Wisconsin. He also likes the idea of Madison trying to use solar energy in as many ways as possible. Besides heating private buildings, the city hopes to use solar water heat for showers at the city's new municipal pool.
Solar, whether it's used for solar water heating or generating electricity, is really starting to come into its own. And it's a very appropriate technology for Madison, it being an urban environment.
In addition to solar panels, the city will use grant money from Madison Gas and Electric to retrofit old buildings so they lose less energy. Previous grants from the utility have helped Madison pay for buses that run on low sulfur fuel. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And Joy, that's a look at State of Wisconsin News.
Thanks a lot, Cheryl. Cheryl Gasser has more state news coming up after 6:30. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. School districts across the state and across the country are taking a more critical look at what they're offering during their school lunch programs, in part because of criticism from parents and other health experts alarmed at the rising rates of childhood obesity and other health problems. Are you satisfied with what your children or your community's children are eating for lunch and how they are served? And what they're learning about healthy eating? A group of parents and community members in Madison is hosting a forum to talk about these issues, including wondering if there's enough public concern to improve what is being served in their schools. And we'll wonder that too this hour as we talk with a University of Wisconsin nutritionist who is taking part in tonight's forum in Madison. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions for her about how we can instill healthy eating habits in our kids and whether our school lunch programs can be improved. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. According to government studies and other experts, 3 out of 4 schools nationwide serve too much fat. Many schools undercut healthy offerings by selling junk food. There aren't enough vegetables and fruits, and not enough is being done to teach good eating habits. Proposals to eliminate popular items from the lunch menu, like pizza and burgers and fries in some school districts around the country, have been met with opposition from local school officials because messing with the menu can mean losing money, with more students opting to brown bag or go without if there isn't anything on the lunch menu that they want to eat. So what to do? What do you suggest? What are your concerns? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Marcy Brown, nutritionist with the UW Health Pediatric Fitness Clinic and a panelist at tonight's Nutrition and Schools Forum in Madison. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Morning.
I noticed one of the questions that will be discussed at tonight's forum is, the very first one, in fact, is should schools serve lunch? I didn't know that that was an option. Should schools serve lunch?
I think we're going to start from the beginning and make sure that we understand what everybody's position is on that. Because I think, but my personal opinion is that people really do need the help of the lunch at school to make sure that kids are eating enough food early in the day. I think that's an issue for a lot of kids. They oftentimes go to school without breakfast, and even with lunch being provided at school, many kids are choosing to skip lunch or eating what I think amounts to more of a snack, you know, having a Powerade and a dessert rather than eating a full meal. So I like to see that that we would continue to make that an option, having lunch at school.
Yeah, so good food, a good lunch is good for education.
Definitely is.
Yeah. But what is being served is a concern to many. I have a menu from the Madison School District right here and looked at what was on the menu for today in the middle schools. Pepperoni pizza, lasagna, a jumbo hot dog, and fries.
Right.
Anything wrong with that?
You hit on one thing that I am concerned about, and that is the style of eating. And I'm sure hoping that school lunches can provide more variety for kids in their diet. But the problem partly starts with at home, kids early on aren't developing a good variety of food likes and aren't exposed to enough foods because it is so easy to serve processed foods and they're so much a part of our culture as well as fast food. So they really come into the school environment with pretty limited taste buds. And, you know, so much earlier on we have to work on intervening there. But given that that's what we're working with, I think the next best step is to make sure that when they are getting, some of these what I might call pleasure foods or recreational foods, things that appeal to the mouth more than to our bodies, that in those situations we're at least having a smaller portion of those foods and balancing it out with other foods, milk and fruits and vegetables and salads and things, to make it more of a meal. Because,
yeah.
Again, I see a lot of kids eat what really amounts to a more of a snack style of eating at lunchtime and eat in a more one-dimensional way, you know, having one thing and that's it.
Yeah, and I to be fair, it does say that with these are the entrees, that every lunch includes a choice of fruits and vegetables and one carton of milk. So that is a part of it, but whether the kids eat it is another story.
And also they have the option of just getting one item. There's an a la carte line, so they can go through and get one item. I think that's different from the way it was set up when I was in high school. You had one option, and that was to pay your flat fee and get a full lunch. And there were no choices, and I think in our culture today, we wouldn't be accepting of having no choices, but I think we should still offer a full meal for a flat fee. There's no disincentive, to just snack, basically. And then within different food groups, have choices, have maybe a vegetarian entree, have two different entrees available, a couple different fruits or vegetables to select from, but in the end, the child ends up with a full meal for a flat fee.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I remember in school, too. There wasn't a whole bunch of, it wasn't a huge cafeteria-type setting. Pizza is on the menu just about every day. Is that a problem?
I think that we could look at food quality, but again, keeping things in perspective, right now the time constraints with eating are such an issue that many kids order one item because they know they don't have very much time to finish a full meal.
Yeah, I was shocked. 20, 25 minutes, something like that is typical for kids to eat lunch.
And I think that oftentimes that is inflated. That by the time they actually get to the cafeteria, stand in line, the last of the kids to go through the line sometimes have 5 or 10 minutes. So that is an issue. And the other thing that's notable when you visit a school lunch program is how much food is in the trash can. And I think that also reflects, you know, maybe we're not connecting with what the students want to eat, but also definitely there isn't enough time to finish a full meal.
Yeah.
You see that particularly in the elementary level when, you know, fortunately they are provided a full meal, but with the limited time to get to recess and to socialize with friends, they'll end up eating less food and throwing a lot away.
We're talking about what's on the lunch menu in many Wisconsin school districts today. We're focusing in on Madison as an example because Madison is hosting a nutrition and schools forum tonight to examine the school lunch program and to discuss whether something needs to be done to change it to improve it. We will welcome your thoughts and questions and concerns about kids and healthy eating and school lunch programs for our guest, Marcy Brown, a nutritionist with the UW Health Pediatric Fitness Clinic. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You have to admit that the greatest optimists in the world are gardeners. Larry Mueller here, and you'll meet some great gardeners on Garden Talk Fridays from 11 to 12:30. Flowers, trees, vegetables, we cover the landscape on Garden Talk. If it grows, we have the experts to answer your questions here on the Ideas Network.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from the Wisconsin Union Theater, presenting the Claremont Trio on violin, cello, and piano, playing Beethoven, Mendelssohn, and more. Friday, December 2nd, tickets through the Union Theater box office, 262-2201.
Good morning. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cheryl Gasser. In our weather forecast for this Wednesday, it'll be cloudy with scattered morning flurries, highs in the low 30s today. Overnight tonight, light snow with accumulation of around 2 inches before it's over, lows tonight in the low 20s, and mostly cloudy tomorrow with a chance of light snow in the morning and afternoon, highs in the 20s. Around the state at this hour, light snow in Madison in 22, light snow also in Milwaukee in 26, fair skies in Eau Claire in 13, in Green Bay overcast in 24, 19 in La Crosse under overcast skies, in Superior 18.
With talk about issues that matter to you, Ideas 970 AM, WHA Madison.
You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. Glad you're along. Hope you stay tuned. We have some special programming coming up a little bit later this morning at 8:30. We will carry National Public Radio's live coverage of President Bush's speech on Iraq today at the U.S. Naval Academy. The speech will be, about 10 minutes to 9, and NPR will offer some coverage before and after the address. Kathleen Dunn will also welcome in a guest after 10 o'clock to talk about what the president had to say, as will Ben Marins this afternoon after 4 o'clock this afternoon. So we'll provide special coverage of the president's address on Iraq today on the Ideas Network. Right now, this hour, we are talking about school lunch programs in our schools and wondering if they're good enough, if there's something that can be done to improve them. Any questions or concerns you might have are welcome at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. There will be a forum on schools and nutrition tonight in the Madison School District, looking at whether or not schools should even serve lunch. What kind of food would be the best to serve? How do students feel about their lunches at school? And do we as a public feel strongly enough about improving what's being served in our schools? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. If there are any young people listening along, parents are making you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio right now, you can call in too. What do you think about what's on the lunch menu at your school or how you're served it?
Mary in Sheboygan is our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for doing this program. I think it's desperately needed. The average, I was wondering what your guest knows about the USD guidelines for nutrition for children and teens and why the cafeterias across the country don't meet those standards. The last figure I heard as far as fat content, for example, for a school lunch is 46%. And the other thing I'd like your guest to address, as I'm sure she probably will, and then I'll get off the phone and listen to her comments, is even once, if we do get nutrition back into the school cafeterias, until we get Burger King and McDonald's and Pizza Hut out of the school cafeterias, we're not doing a whole lot to aid the nutrition of our children in this country. So thank you very much, and I'll take the comments off the air.
Thank you. Marcy Brown.
First, to address your question about the amount of fat in the diet, in the school lunch program. In Madison, the average of the food items served during the week do fall under the 25 to 30% fat guidelines that are part of the USDA dietary guidelines. The issue is, again, the a la carte meals. A child can eat outside the full meal and then end up choosing items that would be much higher in fat than that. And then certain days, the foods are higher fat than other days, and it averages out. And that is normal eating like we would do in everyday life and probably at home, that not every day we're consistent with that. However, many kids choose then to have hot lunch on a day when there's pizza or chicken nuggets or hot dogs or something that may be higher in fat. So it is an issue sort of, but it's not across the board. And then the idea of getting Pizza Hut and Burger King out of the schools, you know, again, I'm pretty moderate as a nutritionist because I work with kids, and I think that we do need to reflect society and kids' taste, and I think an important aspect of this is to show kids that certain things can still fit into their usual diet. And I think all of us out there that have kids probably know that, yeah, we do have pizza and we do have fast food occasionally. And that's what I'd like to see happen, is that the schools reflect what we might, want, by example, what we would want to do in our daily lives. So maybe have Pizza Hut once a month or something like that, or twice a month, and show that it can be part of a good mix of foods. And I know that some people are going to find this to be just inappropriate, but I think this all-or-nothing kind of mentality that we get into in this country with eating isn't really appropriate, that we need to show kids that, yeah, as part of the normal mix of eating, you can have pizza, and we can work with that. But we wouldn't want to eat and offer pizza every day, because that sends the wrong message also.
But Madison is within the fat guidelines, for example, but not all schools around the state, probably, or around the country. The study I saw was 3 out of 4 were feeding kids more fat than they needed to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Kay in Kenosha. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah. There's a line. It's USDA online, and they have commodity menus. They have a program for before and after school programs that have exercise in it. It's called Squirrely Something, whatever. The children love it. Okay. I also believe our children are having too many processed foods and fats, and I don't understand why there's not more sandwiches on the menu, why they're allowing ice cream bars, soda, potato chips, and things that don't make sense, because those are what our children are eating. Okay. And like I said, when you got HMOs telling you not even to, serve sandwiches to your children, then we have a big problem with health, okay? I think we need to go back to sandwiches, fruits and vegetables, milk,
yeah,
and not as many greasy foods.
Yeah, thank you, Mary Kay. I don't know why I had a little bit of feedback there, but there are sub sandwiches offered on the high school menu, I noticed, Marcy Brown.
Yeah, I agree with the caller's comments that I think it is irresponsible of the adults that are making decisions in this world of school foods, because We are offering more processed foods than people eat in daily life. So, you know, one of my pet peeves is in the middle school, and I think in the high school level also, French fries are offered every day, and nobody at home would make French fries every day for dinner. So this, again, doesn't reflect the message that we're trying to tell kids. And we're being very inconsistent with nutrition guidelines that are out there. Throughout history, we've always learned by example of what to eat. Nobody had food labels. Nobody had complex nutrition information. You sat at the table. You saw what was being served, and that's what was ingrained in you as, you know, what's an appropriate meal, what's an appropriate combination of foods. And I think that has really fallen by the wayside in this culture, and school lunch can help pick this back up by doing a part in showing that there's a good mix of foods, that sometimes you have some potato chips served with a sandwich, but it's a sometimes food, it's not an everyday food. So I do agree with the caller on that. We're being very inconsistent.
Thank you very much, Mary Kay. Patty in South Range is next. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I was just looking at my daughter's lunch menu, and she picks usually 4 lunches a month off the menu, and then we brown bag it the rest of the time. And I was looking at her food choices because we let her pick, and they always usually have a fruit and a vegetable with their meal. And I would say half the meals are pretty good, but she'll typically pick the cheese pizza, the pizza dippers, the Italian spaghetti, the mini corn dogs, and then she'll skip the ones that have the turkey ham and cheese sandwiches or the, you know, the nachos or the beef gravy things. And then when it comes down to it, she doesn't qualify for, like, the low the lunch where you get money that's like 30 cents or 50 cents. I don't know what they call that. But for $2.50, she throws most of it away when she does eat the lunch. In the brown bag, at least she gets a fruit or vegetable. I know she'll eat it.
And then, so what do you send her to school with in a brown bag?
Usually in a brown bag, she'll take, like, she's a little thermos of some chicken noodle soup. They like soup every day, and she'll take apple slices, and I might put, you know, a piece of cake in there or something, but it's a lot smaller portion.
Mm-hmm.
So then when she's, and then she always wants food for when she's coming home on the bus, so then she can eat the popcorn that we might send or the apples and things like that. But as far as the money goes, I think she gets a lot healthier lunch by brown bagging it.
Yeah.
Than she does by the school lunch.
I can't understand why she doesn't want the beef gravy thing.
You know, why? Because there's green beans with that. And I've sat at the lunch tables with the kids, and some do eat the vegetables, but almost they're so busy chatting and socializing and ready to get dressed and go outside to play that they scrape tons of food off these trays.
Yeah, and you saw that too, Marcy Brown.
Well, the caller made a few comments that I really enjoyed, and I'm glad she brought that up. One is that she allows her daughter to pick, and I think that's an important part of this whole process of socializing kids to be competent adult eaters, that we have to give them more choices as they go along. I, too, kind of set a limit in my home of how many school lunches a month, and then the rest of the time they brown bag it. I like feeling like we have a little more control over what the kids eat, but, you know, I know ultimately my son's in middle school now, and I let him just make whatever selections he wants, and oftentimes he does choose to brown bag it. But the caller also made a comment about the fruits and vegetables in the meal, and they are served every day, but oftentimes the quality isn't the best, and again, if we're promoting eating more fruits and vegetables, it's more likely that a kid is going to choose a fruit roll-up because it's or a fruit snack thing that's available every day in the middle school and high school, because that is a processed food that is consistently soft, it's consistently sweet, and they like the taste, and getting a pear or an orange or whatever is going to be a little riskier. You know, is it going to be ripe? Is it going to be a good quality piece of produce that's going to taste good and be soft and be ready to eat? And that's an unknown. So, of course, they're going to pick the thing that's going to be most consistent.
Let me jump in because we're at news time, and then we'll continue talking about kids and nutrition and school lunches after the news.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Marquette University College of Professional Studies, offering graduate leadership programs with a variety of specialization tracks. 414-288-7346 or on the web at marquette.edu/CPS.
Ideas 970 AM, WHA, Madison. Talk about issues that matter to you.
You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio on this Wednesday. The time is 6:30. Good morning. I'm Cheryl Gasser. After 11:45 this morning, Larry Mueller's guest explains the spiritual value of a year she spent in a Wisconsin wetland. It's Larry Mueller from 11 until 12:30 each day. In our weather forecast, clouds today with scattered morning flurries, highs in the low 30s. Overnight tonight, light snow with up to 2 inches of accumulation, lows in the low 20s overnight. Currently light snow in Madison and 21, overcast in Milwaukee and 25, in La Crosse 19, in Green Bay 22. From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jean Cochran. The Supreme Court hears arguments today in its first abortion case with the new Chief Justice John Roberts presiding. At issue is a New Hampshire parental notification law. The outcome is likely to signal where the High Court is headed on this divisive issue. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
While the law does allow emergency abortions without parental notification in cases of imminent death, it does not have a similar exception in cases that pose a threat to the health of the minor, conditions that threaten a possible stroke, organ damage, and infertility. A federal appeals court invalidated the statute because of that lack of a health exception, and the state appealed to the Supreme Court, contending that as a threshold matter, no court should invalidate a state law before it has gone into effect and actually harmed someone. Were the Supreme Court to accept that argument, it would transform much of the established practice with respect to abortion laws and make it much more difficult to challenge restrictive abortion laws for women of all ages. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
The White House released a new Iraq War Strategy document this morning. The plan says increasing numbers of Iraqi troops have been trained and equipped. A democratic government is being forged. Iraq's economy is being rebuilt, and the U.S. presence there will change as conditions improve. The plan comes in advance of a speech today by President Bush at the U.S. Naval Academy. It is to be the first in a series laying out his Iraq strategy and attempting to shore up support for the war. Today, he will focus on the readiness of Iraqi security forces. Ahead of the president's speech, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld told Pentagon reporters that it would be a mistake to pull U.S. forces out of Iraq. NPR's Vicki O'Hara has more.
Secretary Rumsfeld warned that pulling out of Iraq would encourage the insurgents.
Quitting is not an exit strategy. It would be a formula for putting the American people at still greater risk. It would be an invitation for more terrorist violence.
Nonetheless, Rumsfeld said it's time for the Iraqis to stop leaning so heavily on the United States for security. The secretary said the Iraqi security forces are making considerable progress, and he noted that 29 military bases in Iraq now have been turned over to the Iraqis. Vicki O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.
Two top Army analysts say the U.S. should lower expectations in Iraq. Before the invasion, these experts from the Army War College predicted much of the turmoil unleashed after Saddam Hussein's ouster. Their latest study says it is no longer clear the U.S. can train Iraqi forces well enough to secure the country. Crude oil futures fell by nearly a dollar yesterday, closing below $57 a barrel. Analysts say there are ample supplies amid warmer than usual weather in the Northeast. The Energy Information Administration releases the latest oil inventory data this morning. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Northern Trust. For more than 116 years, committed to helping enhance and preserve wealth for families with complex financial needs at northerntrust.com.
I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wondering if you're concerned about the types of school lunches served at your local school district. We'll continue after this check of state news from Cheryl Gasser. Cheryl?
In what some say is a dangerous precedent, the UW-Eau Claire Student Senate has voted to raise student fees by $20 a year in order to help give pay raises to professors. Senate President Aaron Olson says the legislature won't do it, so the students must, or else they'll have to keep watching the quality of their education decline. Olson says he believes the UW's contention that professors and instructors are leaving for better pay elsewhere. The school's chancellor and the UW Board of Regents must still approve the new fee before it can take effect. The state Supreme Court has sidestepped a chance to either limit or reinforce the power of universities to fire tenured professors. In a ruling released yesterday, the court sent the case of fired UW Superior Professor John Martyr back to circuit court. Gil Halstead reports.
The 5-0 ruling says it's up to the Douglas County Court to find out what was said behind closed doors in June of 2001. That's when UW Superior Chancellor Julius Erlenbach met privately with the UW Board of Regents. 15 minutes later, the board voted to fire John Martyr for inappropriate sexual behavior during field trips with two of his students. Martyr's attorney, Aaron Halstead, no relation to this reporter, says this week's ruling is a step in the right direction.
You know, there had been 4 unanimous committee recommendations that Dr. Martyr not be fired after this secret meeting between the chancellor and the board from which Dr. Martyr was excluded. The decision took a 180-degree turn against Dr. Martyr, and so now we're finally going to get to find out what happened in that meeting.
The Supreme Court opinion doesn't give Martyr his job back, but it does say his rights to due process may have been violated if it turns out the chancellor gave the Board of Regents new information that swayed their decision to fire him. Attorneys from the Justice Department argued the case for the regents. A department spokesperson says they're pleased it's been sent back to the lower court. They had argued that the regents followed normal university procedure for terminating a professor and had granted Martyr more rights than the average state employee. Martyr's attorney says he is still seeking reinstatement and more than 4 years in back pay. Gil Halstead, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Madison peace activists say their vigils have successfully shut down a local Army recruiting office 3 times in the past 3 weeks. But recruiters say protesters have simply showed up during times recruiters were out in the field. Yesterday, Joy First and 4 other activists stood in front of the doors of the closed recruiting office on University Avenue and read the same statement they've read at 2 other previous demonstrations.
Our hope is that not one more person will walk through the doors of this or any other recruitment center. As we read the names of the fallen, Staff Sergeant Guy S. Hagee, Jr., Ahmed Mahdi Abbas Al-Sadeh.
Protesters stayed for 4 hours reading from a list of U.S. soldiers and Iraqi civilians killed in the war. After they left, the recruiters returned from a trip to Milwaukee and the office opened for business. The officer in charge says the protest had no impact on the day's work of recruiting. Army spokesperson Pat Grobschmidt says the military respects the rights of citizens to hold peaceful protests at recruiting centers.
And as long as it remains peaceful, they're fully within their right, and as a soldier who fights for their right to do that, we fully respect them for doing that.
The protesters are part of the National Iraq Pledge of Resistance. They say they plan to hold weekly vigils at the recruiting center and are ready to risk arrest by blocking access to potential new recruits. Enjoy for now. That is a look at Wisconsin News.
Thanks very much, Cheryl Gasser. Cheryl has more Wisconsin News coming up after 7 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A group of parents and concerned citizens in the Madison area are hosting a forum tonight in Madison to talk about school lunch programs. They're concerned about what's being served in their local schools and how it's being served. And we're wondering if you are too. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Do you have any suggestions about how to improve school lunch programs? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Marcy Brown. She's a nutritionist with the UW Health Pediatric Fitness Center. She will be a panelist at tonight's Nutrition and Schools Forum in Madison. And we'll go back to the phones and take our next caller who's been waiting, Ann in Aliva. Hi, Ann, you're on the air. There it goes again. Ann tried a couple of times and we lost her. But anyway, she wanted to talk about the a la carte menu. She believes in her school there are healthier options on the a la carte menu. But you had concerns about our a la carte menus, Marcy Brown?
Yeah, if we can get that caller back at some point, I'd like to hear what they're doing with the a la carte menu. And I think it can be helpful for allowing kids to make, maybe bring part of a lunch and supplement with something at school. But oftentimes, I think kids are given too many choices with the a la carte lines. And what I have seen is oftentimes a dessert and a Powerade or a bagel
with no protein with it, and juice or something. And these things do not account for a meal. A good meal has carbs, and it has protein, and it has a moderate amount of fat, and it has a fruit or a vegetable. And there seem to be no guidelines for these kids. And oftentimes they are choosing higher carb items that have a lot of taste value, but just not much sustaining value.
Yeah. Do you think the school lunch programs in schools are getting a bum rap when it comes to getting the blame for the childhood obesity problem?
Yes. I think the school lunch program can do more for creating a better food environment in many ways, but it really is reflecting what's happening in our culture in general. We're eating more in a snack pattern. We're eating fast. We're eating more processed foods. And, you know, we really are sending kids into school with these very limited tastes. It's easy for the lunch program to just pick up right there and take off with it. So I think culture-wide we have to have a shift in the way we think about eating and feeding kids. And it can't just fall on the school lunch program. But that said, there are definitely things to work on within the school lunch.
Yeah. What are some of the shifts you would like to see?
Many of the kids I work with are eating little or no breakfast. The breakfast tends to be higher in processed carbs, cold cereal, Pop-Tarts, a piece of toast, something like that, but not really a meal. Again, you know, usually short in protein. Then they go to school and they have a lunch, and if they're given too many options or don't have enough time, they tend not to eat a balanced meal then. And what I think parents see is when they get home from school, they are starved because they've gone through their whole day without much of anything that looks like a meal, and the eating begins. And that eating that is skewed so late in the day really contributes to a pattern of overeating, having cravings for more processed foods and quick energy things because they're so hungry and they need something in their system quickly, and then this kind of compensatory eating, making up for everything they didn't get all day long, and then they go to bed on all this. So it's not an effective way to eat, and it's a part of what happens in our culture in general. We tend to eat more at night, and it's promoted, I think, with the school program, school lunch program, too, because kids don't have much time to eat.
Yeah. Boy, that sounds familiar. Ann and Oliva, hi, you're back.
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to bring up a point that our school lunch program actually does have an a la carte program, and I have a middle schooler and two high school daughters. I know my daughters take advantage of the a la carte. It's a salad and either a pretzel or a salad and nachos. And they choose that quite frequently over the regular hot lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And my complaint that I hear from my kids about the hot lunch is, you know, that it doesn't taste good or it's not cooked all the way, or, you know, green hot dogs is a real one that they bring up quite a bit.
What? Are they serious? Green hot dogs?
Yeah, they're green inside, or they're not cooked all the way, fruit too was a big thing. It, you know, especially my daughter who's a senior, she's very picky. But another thing I wanted to bring up was the time that these kids have to have lunch. You know, their lunch is 25 minutes, but that includes going back to their locker, dropping off their books, and standing in line. And I know that my daughter, one of my kids, has the last lunch, and there's, you know, two or three different lunch periods where you've got your middle schoolers and, you know, different groups. And I know I've heard my kids on several occasions comment that they were one of the last kids in line, and the lunch people are doling out tater tots and chicken nuggets because they're running out of food.
Yeah.
You know, so they're counting them. And I just, you know, I think we're paying, you know, for our kids to have lunch at school, and it's ridiculous that they don't get lunch and they don't get enough to eat.
Yeah, that's the time is a big concern of yours too, Marcy Brown.
Yeah, yes, it is. And the long lines are an issue, and getting to your locker, and there's just a lot of things that are cutting into lunch. And as Americans, we've accepted that because we tend to eat in the car, we tend to eat on the run, we eat at the desk. And I, just from working with students from Europe, they're appalled at our eating habits. We don't seem to revere food in this country. It's just something that you do and you get through, or it's just for the mouth part. You just want to eat something that tastes good in your mouth. And we've kind of lost that whole cultural thing about sitting and relaxing and eating slowly and conversing and connecting. And that needs to be part of our culture again. It isn't necessarily something that has to start at school, but I hope that parents will begin to get the message that it is normal and appropriate, and historically has been a situation where people ate meals together, and we're really at a point in the American culture where we've gone from eating two or three meals a day together as a family to sometimes eating two or three a week together, and this has an impact on the way we eat also. So I encourage people not to forget that eating is more about just the food and consuming the food and the nutrients, but really about this whole feeling that we have and how relaxed and how social it is.
Yeah, I was so lucky. I lived within walking distance of my home, and I remember going home for lunch and having like a full hour, not 20 minutes. So that's really changed.
It has.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that that parents. I saw a posting on a website for the Madison School District, and one parent was saying, unless the schools are planning on giving the kids more time to eat, increasing the appeal of what's available will only help so much. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree, and it's the plate waste that a person would have to mm-hmm. see to believe. When you see the garbage cans mm-hmm. filled with food at the end of a lunch period, you realize it would be ineffective to make sweeping changes in the quality of food if we don't give the kids enough time to eat it. Also, sweeping changes unfortunately never work well if kids are entering the school system with a certain taste expectations. So I imagine that it would be changes that would occur over several years in terms of improving school quality, because there has to be a certain level of acceptance or the kids won't eat at all. And I know people would argue with me, but I still think it's better that they're eating something for lunch than eating nothing.
We'll check our weather forecast and then continue our discussion.
Both sides are lining up for the fight over Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. This is Ben Marins, and after 3, we'll talk about the maneuvering on Capitol Hill. President Bush gives a major speech on Iraq today. We'll discuss that after 4. And after 5, teenagers and sleeping pills, a growing and dangerous trend. Today from 3 to 6 on the Ideas Network.
The Wisconsin Public Radio Association holds an election early in 2006 to select a board member to represent listeners in South Central Wisconsin. The deadline for submitting nomination papers is December 31st. For details, call 800-747-7444.
This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cheryl Gasser with a look at our weather forecast. It'll be cloudy today with scattered morning flurries, highs in the low 30s. Overnight tonight, light snow with up to 2 inches of accumulation before it's all over. Lows tonight in the 20s. And mostly cloudy tomorrow with a chance of light snow in the morning and afternoon. Highs in the upper 20s. Partly cloudy and colder overnight with Thursday's low overnight just around 11 degrees. Light snow in the Madison area currently and 21 in Milwaukee overnight. Overcast and 25, 19 in La Crosse, in Superior 18 degrees.
With talk about issues that matter to you, Ideas 970 AM, WHA Madison.
It's about 11 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7 o'clock, I'll talk with a guest who says urban sprawl isn't new and isn't bad. Different perspective on sprawl coming up after 7. We're talking about school lunch programs, nutrition, and our kids with Marcy Brown, a nutritionist at the UW Health Pediatric Fitness Clinic. She will be a panelist at a forum tonight in Madison, Nutrition and Schools Forum in Madison, where concerned community members and parents will be talking about the lunches served in the Madison Public Schools. Tom in Madison is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I was wondering, I know the USDA came out with this food pyramid, and then they revised it, I think, at the beginning of this year, and now they have it, this My Pyramid. Does the school follow those things as far as you know, what portions of foods and stuff like that. And then I guess I was wondering, on the old food pyramid, there was a lot of criticism of using these processed carbohydrates like white spaghetti and white rice and potatoes. And is that changing? And then I was wondering, do they always, you know, if a kid doesn't want any vegetables or anything like that, do they still give it to them even though they don't want it?
All right. Well, Marcy Brown, do the schools follow the new food pyramid?
The schools, if they receive commodities from the government, then yes, they do need to follow the USDA dietary guidelines. The issue on processed carbs, white spaghetti, you know, white rice and potatoes and that sort of thing, there is a shift now, and I think it's starting in the younger age levels, again, because of acceptance, to go with more whole grain breads and buns and that sort of thing. And, you know, again, I'm moderate, but I feel that we have eaten, you know, white pasta and rice, you know, for many centuries, and it's been fine for our health, and I'm not as concerned about that. I'm more concerned about kids eating, you know, cake and Powerade, you know, processed sugar things, and I think they'd be much better off having white spaghetti and white rice. But also, we can also take the next step and try to provide more whole grain foods in the mix so that kids are at least exposed to some new tastes and hopefully will learn to be a little more adventurous with their palate. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom. Mike in Madison is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
My comment is that the system that we see today in schools reflects basically a budget, which is very small per child per meal. And so the meals are prepackaged, and so a child can't necessarily pick what he would like to eat or she from the selection. And so
what do you, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you mean. There's various options and they're not able to choose what they want?
Right. Meals are prepackaged, and so you might get several different things in one package. For example, there might be a kind of like a meal kit that comes from a central location, and then if the student really doesn't want all those items, they get them all anyway, and so that's where some of the waste comes from, because the student wouldn't choose that initially. Mm-hmm. But I guess the main point is that I think that maybe the situation we're in followed. For instance, I echoed with the previous couple of callers that mentioned that there's no time to eat the food anyway, but I don't think I think that might have been a chicken before the egg issue, where the quality of this whole food system declined, and maybe then the time issue followed that. I'm not sure about that point, but my point is that we have very tight budget restrictions on meals, which reflect some value. And I think I would say that the responsibility of good meals for kids at lunch got turned over to someone who did basically bean counting instead of looking at a priority of kids having adequate, nutritious food for lunch. And so that reflects the system that we have now, where the responsibility was turned over to someone who didn't really make good decisions. And so that's really the root cause of what got us where we are today. And so that's where we really need to focus our attention if we're going to get this thing turned around, because it's got a lot of momentum in the direction it's going, with very small, you know, very small budgets for this kid's lunches and no time to eat, et cetera.
Yeah. A comment, Marcy Brown?
Yeah, I agree completely, and it's difficult to sit back and, you know, see that these tight budgets, when it's a national priority to improve children's health, I think that the focus has to be different, that these individual school districts working with very tight budgets will only be able to do so much. But if we're really standing behind these, you know, USDA and government and CDC and, you know, the goals for health for our kids, there has to be more money appropriated for it. And it's certainly a lot cheaper on the front end to improve school lunch and improve the eating environment that our kids are living in than to deal with lifelong diseases like what we used to call adult onset diabetes that is now affecting teenagers. And to manage that disease throughout a life starting at such a young age, that is going to be more costly than a food budget. And that's where we need to get a perspective.
Thank you to Mike. Ruth in New Richmond. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. There's a lot of issues that I certainly have agreed with. You're talking 20 minutes to eat. By the time the kids get through the line, they have 10 minutes to eat. So time is a real issue, and you can argue with school people, and they say that's all the time they can they have. But I think one of the problems is that we don't have mass market food suppliers that can supply healthy food at a decent cost. Somehow the school districts need to combine with some food suppliers so that they have vegetarian options in massive quantities in child size proportions. I view that as a real issue. And you said before that they do follow the food pyramid when they make up our meals. That's not really true. They put no restrictions on salt. They put no restrictions on fat. They mainly focus in on making sure that the meal, the ideal meal, if the kid ate it, has enough protein. So those are some of the things that we're trying to deal with, and I've approached some people at the school level and gotten nowhere. So I really think the form idea is good, but I wish somehow we could combine our efforts.
Yeah, and you want to see more healthy food companies providing food to schools?
It's almost impossible to get non-breaded food in the market right now.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of the breaded. My daughter doesn't even take hot lunch anymore. And as far as whole grains, the school board goes with Sara Lee wheat bread most of the time because it's cheaper when they say they have to get wheat bread. They don't have whole grains at all. They don't even try to have whole grain pasta. So we need suppliers to supply this kind of product in larger quantities at cheaper prices.
Yeah. Marcy Brown?
I think I hear your frustration, and I heard a caller earlier talk about having sandwiches, and actually that would be my solution to this, is to really simplify the menu. When there are so many hot foods and cooked foods, then you get into more of the processed foods. And if we offered soups every day that had a variety of vegetables and pasta, maybe whole wheat pasta, maybe sometimes brown rice, and sandwiches, and kept it simple, and anything that wasn't used one day could easily be used the next, rather than worrying about, you know, throwing food away and that sort of thing. That would also help cut down on the salt and fat intake if we ate more basic foods in the school lunch rather than these combinations that are pre-made and pre-prepared and processed. So I agree, we have a long way to go.
Well, this is it for this hour. I hope you have a productive forum tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks to Marcy Brown, nutritionist at UW Health Pediatric Fitness Clinic. She will be a panelist tonight at a nutrition and schools forum in Madison, looking at the Madison's school lunch program. Thanks to Cheryl Gasser for producing the hour and Angie Thorpe for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
The businesses, professionals, and organizations that support Wisconsin Public Radio's programming play an important part in our financial health. When you visit a WPR sponsor, please let them know that you appreciate their support of the station. Thanks very much.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Dunn. Conversations with George McGovern, Bob Dole, Brian Greene, Fawaz Jurgis, Jim Fallows, Nancy Pearl. Topics ranging from centenarians in Okinawa to foreign policy, the Founding Fathers, and Shakespeare. Weekdays from 9 to 11, the issues that affect your lives here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And coming up next here on the Ideas Network, according to Joy Cardine's guest, suburban sprawl isn't new and isn't a bad thing because it offers the benefits of privacy, physical and social mobility, and personal choice. Joy talks with the author of Sprawl, coming up next. Then after 8, in what's being billed as a major speech on Iraq, President Bush will speak at the U.S. Naval Academy shortly before 9 this morning. After 8, Joy and her guest political scientist preview the address. NPR will provide special coverage of the address beginning at 8:30. And then at 10 o'clock, Kathleen Dunn talks with New York Times columnist Frank Rich and a political scientist, Terry Madonna, about their reactions to what President Bush had to say about Iraq.
Ideas 970 AM, WHA Madison. Talk about issues that matter to you.